Hey guys, welcome. We're your hosts, Amy Keeble and Haley Young. Our heart is to encourage you, add joy to your life, and be a small reminder that you're not in this crazy motherhood journey alone. We have each other, and most importantly, we have God every moment, every day. This is our village.
Hey, Haley, how are you?
I'm good, Amy. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. It did take us about four times to get that, hey, Haley, how are you part down.
I think it might have even been six or seven.
I'm glad we got there in the end. Technology is amazing. And then when you really need it, it just kind of sometimes glitches. That's okay.
We're here though.
We are. We've made it. And we are excited about this episode this week that I'm very sorry has been so delayed. But we have the opportunity to talk to Jodi Garth about her journey with ADHD. And she found out she had ADHD as an adult. She was 38 when she found out. So it was a really fascinating conversation with her, just learning about how she came to the place of realizing that that was probably something she was journeying with and what that process since then has been. So we, even though this episode is way later in the week than we wanted it to be, we really hope that this can be an encouragement to you guys and can be just maybe a similar moment for some of you that Jodi had when she first discovered that this was something going on for her. So it's here, long awaited, and we hope you enjoy it.
Absolutely. And we're also excited to get to the end of our second year of our podcast.
I know, how bizarre.
Yes, and the end of 2021. This is our last official episode of the year.
It is.
And then we're coming back in the new year with our first kind of series. We've got a series interviewing mums and panels about the different stages of motherhood. So first-time mums going from one to two babies, two to three, three to four. And it's been really cool having the conversations with people.
It has, yeah.
And I don't know if you've picked this up, but I can definitely see how the chaos increases.
Yeah. Yes, that's very accurate.
So if you have a large family this Christmas, I have, of course, like I have admired those families, but I just admire you with the chaos. And I guess you only know what you know, so there's can be chaos no matter how many kids you have, but... I respect you guys.
Absolutely. Especially, holiday season, seeing family, traveling, all of the above kind of brings it out a lot more. And we are really excited as well to be starting the new year, the new season, the new series with a little bit extra help on board to help us with the social media side of things as well. So really amazing, fun, exciting things starting in the new year. So watch this space. We're going to take a little break. Like Haley said already, this is our last official episode for the year, but watch this space and we're really excited to come back with some more content.
Definitely. And if you have any suggestions for the new year, please message us on Instagram or Facebook personally or on our pages. We'd love to hear them and hear
Absolutely.
From you.
Absolutely.
We're wishing you and your families a really Merry Christmas and a beautiful new year. And we look forward to being with you next year.
Yeah. So enjoy this chat with Jodi.
Well, today we have the privilege of talking to Jodi Garth. Jodi, Haley, and I have all been connected through church going back many, many years. And Jodi actually reached out to us asking if we would mind her talking about the topic of ADHD in women. And we said, of course, we'd love to hear your journey and a little bit more about your heart behind that. And so we get to hear from Jodi tonight. So thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for letting me come and talk about this.
Our privilege, absolutely.
It's always exciting to come and share my story with other people. And yeah, I actually found out about, realized I have ADHD from listening to a podcast. So.
Oh, really? There you go.
Yeah. So since then I thought, wow, if I can do the same for other people, that would be really cool.
Yeah, well, for some people listening, maybe this will be the podcast they find out they've got ADHD in as well. Yeah. How fascinating. And if, I think with a topic like ADHD, it's just it's such an important thing for people to share their journeys in, especially in adults, I think, by the time you become an adult. And I don't know tons about it myself, but a lot of people maybe haven't identified it at all. So having a conversation like this is just really important for them to be able to maybe be triggered by some of the stuff that you bring up. So we're really excited for you to be sharing tonight. Do you mind just starting by telling us a little bit about your background and your family?
So I'm married to Lucas and we have three kids. They are 4, 6, and 9.
Wow.
We live in Melbourne and have quite a few different jobs over the years, but at the moment I do some freelance editing, and also in the lead up to Christmas I do some casual work at Tier Fund, working on their gift catalogue and doing mail outs and that sort of thing. Admin work.
The busy stuff.
Yeah, and then the things that I do for fun. I love painting and creative stuff. So I've kind of often kind of jump between different creative hobbies.
That's great. So would you mind sharing with us about what ADHD is and what your journey has been in terms of your diagnosis and this discovery, like you said, when you're listening to the podcast, what that process was like for you?
So the name ADHD stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, which is a not very useful name, I think. So if I break that down, then I can explain the different aspects of it. So attention deficit, it's actually not really a deficit of attention, but it's having a difficulty in regulating attention or shifting your attention or your focus between different tasks. Yeah. So it's about being surrounded by so many things. Yeah, just having trouble with your brain working out what is the most important thing right now to put your attention on, and, you know, being easily distracted because there's so many things, whereas if without ADHD would be able to block out a lot more stimuli and focus in on what's most important at that time. And the hyperactivity aspect of it, in a lot of people that is seen externally, and the stereotype of ADHD tends to be young boys who are noisy and disruptive and bouncing off walls, and it's all very external. People can see the hyperactivity, whereas for me and for a lot of other people, the hyperactivity is internal. So it's our brain is bouncing around with lots of ideas. And as I said, like with the attention, like having trouble focusing on one thing at a time. And I didn't even realize that what my brain was doing was not what everyone else's brain is doing.
Well, it's not something that's easy to compare, is it? Because it's just how you process internally. And it's a hard one to know. Like, you can't look at someone and be like, oh, you're processing differently to me. You're working through this situation differently to me.
Yes. Yeah. And then the name disorder, it kind of implies that something is out of order or broken. And it's just really not a nice
way
label
to about it. No.
So, the name has actually changed over the years, and I'm looking forward to the name changing again to be a bit more accurate in describing what ADHD actually is. Because there's also, in addition to the difficulty in regulating attention, another huge aspect of it is difficulty in regulating emotions. And so I don't think that part of it is spoken about much. A really great description of this that I heard recently from this lady, Jess McCabe, who has a YouTube channel, How to ADHD. So she's got lots of great videos if you want to find out more. It's a bit of a rabbit warren. Like, once I start watching her videos, I just end up clicking on more and more and going, this is so interesting and so informative and entertaining. So yeah, in one of hers, someone was describing it like having a really bad sunburn, and even like a really playful slap hurts a lot. And so even, you know, someone might be joking around or say something that's not really meant to be negative or critical, but for someone with ADHD, it can feel like a slap on sunburn. And yeah, it's difficult to regulate our emotions, and, you know, having a big reaction to something, it's not deliberate, it's not to be a drama queen or to cause trouble, it's our natural response. So there's three types of ADHD. There's impulsive hyperactive type, which is more the stereotype of ADHD. Then there's the inattentive type, which is what I have, and most women have the inattentive type. And then there's combined, so aspects of both types are seen. But, you know, the way that ADHD presents itself in different people varies so much. And so, you know, you might meet someone who does have a lot of the hyperactive or impulsive symptoms, and then other people might seem completely different. So it might seem that they don't have ADHD. And even on any given day, it might present itself differently. And a lot of the struggles of having ADHD is because there's a lot of contradictions. So there's times where I can be really easily distracted and really find it hard to focus on one thing. And there's other times where I'll hyper-focus and be so set on one task that I don't even notice the other stuff around. And so there's a lot of things like that where people might go, hey, but you're really organized in doing this area. You know, this area of your life is, you know, you've got it all together, but how can you be so disorganized in this other area? Or you're able to produce this amazing piece of work. Why can't you do that all the time? It's like, well, I just had this burst of creativity on this one time and I stayed up till whatever time in the night doing it. Yeah. Can't do that all the time because, yeah, the dysregulation in attention means there's a lot of inconsistencies, which is frustrating to other people, but more frustrating for those of us who are experiencing this. Yeah, it can be really hard to organize the ideas in my brain. And so I think for myself, like a lot of my life, I've been more on the quiet side, and people think that I don't have anything to say. But it's like, you don't know how busy my brain is right now trying to think of what to say. And then, you know, if the opportunity goes or the conversation moves to something else, like, oh, well, now I have to kind of catch up with the next thing to think about. And so then it comes across to other people that, oh, quiet Jodie, she, you know, doesn't contribute to conversations, but like, I wanted to. I tried.
Wow, it's such a big topic. And I think you've mentioned like a couple times the stereotyping of it. It's that is like the classic thing that people throw on. There's a stereotypical behavior and they're like ADHD and they like stick a sticker on it. I don't know how many times I've heard that in my lifetime. And like you said, mainly about young boys that can't sit still or something like that. But it's from what you've just described, like that must be such a frustrating thing, because not only is it like so stereotypically like slapped on these specific behaviors, but also super not understood by people, like you've just said, like how you come across is not what's going on in your head. Yeah, it must be just so frustrating to have what people are observing or putting on you from an external perspective, and then not feeling like you're being understood from what's going on inside, and being able to communicate that. That's huge. And so you mentioned earlier as well that for you, it was a podcast that you listened to that triggered this, I guess, aha moment. What did that look like? Like what happened after that point, and what was that like for you?
Yeah, there were actually three things that happened on this one day. So it was December 2020. So the first thing that got me thinking about it was my daughter was having a play date at the park with one of her friends from kinder. And I'd seen this mum around at, you know, pick up and drop off, but I hadn't really spoken to her much. And we got talking, and this is also like a really good lesson or good example of being vulnerable and taking opportunities as they come, because I didn't really know this mum, and my tendency is kind of like, I don't like talking to new people, kind of what I've explained before, like I don't know what to say, and I'm trying to, you know, overthink everything and say the right thing. And she was sharing a bit about some of her struggles as a mum, and I had this split second where I knew that I could just kind of smile and nod and then kind of, yeah, that's the end of the conversation, or engage with her and share some of my struggles as well. And I'm so glad for so many reasons of that I chose to, yeah, be vulnerable and share some of the things that I had been struggling with as a mum. And, yeah, it was through chatting that then she felt comfortable to tell me that she had recently been diagnosed with ADHD.
Wow.
And that from some of the things that I'd been telling her about myself or the things that I found hard, she's like, we sound really similar. You know, it might be worth checking it out for yourself. And that was the first time that anyone had mentioned it to me. So yeah, I was kind of torn, because I'm like, everything that she's saying makes sense. And she asked me a few questions about my childhood and, you know, growing up and some of the things that I, habits that I have, or, you know, just different things that I do. So everything made sense. But there was the fact that I was like, I'm 38, and how can I have never, like, how has no one ever picked up on this? And and I had this, you know, the stereotype in my mind of what I talked about earlier. So I'd never met any women with ADHD. Like, I probably hadn't even met any adults. I probably thought that it's just kids who have it and they grow out of it. And and so I was kind of like, okay, I'll look into it, but not sure. And so later that day, I, you know, Googled ADHD symptoms in women, and this list came up, and my reaction was, isn't this just life with kids? Like, doesn't everyone feel like this? Like being, you know, feeling disorganized and overwhelmed by all the tasks of life, and, you know, being absent-minded. And it was so, like, it just described my life. And I just thought, this is just what it's like when you've got three young kids. Like, everyone's like this, aren't they? And then I had this moment of going, oh my goodness, are there people who don't feel like this? Like, surely not. And I think it's also a reflection of our society that my go-to thought was, this is life as a mum. Like, we're so used to the idea of being exhausted and struggling and being overwhelmed, and so that the whole other conversation. But interesting that kind of one of my initial thoughts as well.
Yeah.
So reading this list and thinking, okay, well, this clearly describes my life. I knew that a couple of friends had done a podcast not long before that, Amy and Kirsty from The Art of Decluttering, who you have interviewed on here as well.
Yep.
So it was, November 2020 that they released an episode on ADHD, and they were interviewing a psychologist who has ADHD. She works with a lot of kids and adults who have it. She's got kids who have it. So it's a very well-rounded view. Like, she's able to talk from all different perspectives.
Yeah.
And, yeah, listening. So I listened to it that night, and I had to keep pausing it because I was just crying and going,
wow,
oh, my goodness, I have never had anyone describe my life like this, or I just felt so seen and validated in the things that I find hard. Yeah, it's an odd thing when you can tell that you're different to other people, but you can't put your finger on what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's things that I knew that I found harder than other people, but kind of the default is it just must be my character flaws, or I'm just a disorganized person, or I'm just messy, and labels that you kind of collect as you're growing up. Even though I know how much effort I put into trying to be organized and trying to be tidy and trying to be on time and all these things that I find hard, it's not for lack of effort. And so that's been the struggle of why can't I get it together?
Mm.
And so to hear someone describe it and give a reason for it, that it's the way my brain functions rather than a personality or a character thing, it was this amazing, liberating moment of wow, like she's just shone this light on my life and given an explanation.
Yeah,
that was amazing. And even just like, you know, little strategies that she was talking about that she uses, I thought, wow, even if I don't have ADHD, like those things will be so useful. Just managing daily tasks. So I already had an appointment booked with a psychologist maybe a month after that, and so I thought, well, I can talk to this other psychologist about it and, you know, see what they think. And yeah, this other psychologist was pretty neutral. Like, I'm glad she didn't completely shut me down, but yeah, she didn't really validate anything that I was saying.
Yeah.
But I knew that, yeah, there's a lot of people who don't know a lot about ADHD in adults. And so I think going into that appointment, I was prepared that, okay, she might not really be able to help me.
Yeah.
And so then I contacted Joanna, who is in the podcast. And yeah, it worked out that I was able to start seeing her. She's in Sydney. She had mentioned that she does video calls, and then it's worked out because we've been locked down all year anyway. So.
Yeah.
And I also had a broken leg, so I couldn't even get to appointments. But the other psychologist was a couple of suburbs away, and I still had to have video calls.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I've been seeing Joanna since it was like about a month later. I had my first appointment with her, and then over two sessions, we had an assessment. And so then at the end, she confirmed that, yes, I have inattentive type, ADHD. Yeah.
Wow.
It was really great that she mentioned that she wasn't surprised at all that it had never been picked up, because a lot of girls and women learn to mask their symptoms. And I guess we're very social, like we can pick up on social cues and kind of compensate for things that we're lacking in or things that we struggle with. Yeah, yeah, it gets missed.
Absolutely. How cool too that you're able to engage with and see somebody who understands it, like you said. I don't know, I feel like that would be like a really reassuring person to be able to process it with. So that's really, I'm glad you're able to hook up with her. And I think like the fact that it's 38 years of your life you didn't know and no one had mentioned and hadn't even crossed your mind, like that's why these conversations are so important, because it's not such a widely understood thing.
Yeah, if you have no idea that neurodivergence is even an option as an explanation, then you have to come up with other explanations. And and you know, when that begins in your childhood, being told that you're messy or you need to do this or you're forgetting things and you're distracted, or you know, all these expectations that are placed on us, when you don't meet them and then you have to come up with an explanation for yourself and they become your thought patterns and become your habits. Yeah, by the time you get to an adult, you've just got all this mental baggage of like, I'm now having to identify what things I'm telling myself that aren't actually true about me, and undoing a lot of the negative self-talk that has, you know, accumulated over the years.
Yeah.
And then you've got the aspect of the emotional dysregulation, which then makes everything worse because you just ruminate and you go over and over things that have been said or things that you're telling yourself, and it just perpetuates the problem. And so, yeah, a lot of ADHD gets missed a lot because it gets explained as depression or anxiety or bipolar disorder, or, you know, there's all these other reasons for what is going on. Women might have anxiety or depression, but it's a result of the ADHD. It's not the core issue. And so, yeah, I'm very passionate now about raising more awareness so that ADHD, I guess, is more in the forefront of people's minds as an explanation of what's going on. And if people are more familiar with the symptoms and how it commonly presents itself, then yeah, it's easier to spot it rather than explain it through other things.
Yeah. Yeah.
It may appear that I've just popped in, which is kind of reality, but I have been listening so far. It's just one of those times. But thank you, Jodie, for this so far. What is your hope, I guess, in terms of what you hope to be common knowledge of families and professionals understanding so younger people and girls can be diagnosed earlier on?
I would love for medical professionals to understand ADHD more, especially in women, so that, you know, my experience of going to a psychologist and not knowing what her thoughts would be when I shared, you know, I have ADHD, what do you think? Yeah, it would be so great to get to a place where that's just not even a fear. Like, you can go to a psychologist and know that they will understand this and be able to pick up on the signs and kind of give like an initial assessment or, you know, feedback straight away, rather than a lot of women are getting shut down and having their symptoms explained in other ways, and so never addressing the core problem. So then they're not able to apply the appropriate strategies and, you know, understand themselves fully. You know, psychologists and GPs to understand it more, and also maternal child health nurses. I feel like if the nurses that I've seen over the years, if they could see the signs in me as well. So when I share about the things I'm struggling with, you know, instead of giving me a screening test for depression, if they were able to give a test for ADHD instead, or at least be able to pick up on some of the things that I would have been talking about and kind of put two and two together and come up with, you know, four instead of some other number, which they, you know, gave me instead. Because each appointment would be given a list of questions about the child and their development, and so that they can pick up on early signs of neurodivergence. And so if there was kind of an equivalent for the mother as well, that they could kind of just ask a few questions. And I know they do that anyway in relation to, you know, being able to pick up on like family violence or just other social issues that the woman might be experiencing. If neurodivergence, so not just about ADHD, but, you know, autism or, since they already look for neurodivergence in children, if they could do that for the parent as well and kind of get it at that point before it becomes a huge problem, that would be amazing, because I feel like so many of my struggles in my early years of parenting could have been avoided if I understood myself and understood my brain and just cut myself a whole lot of slack instead of trying to live up to certain expectations that I can never meet because I don't function in the same way that other people do.
What's been one of the most significant differences in your parenting since finding out?
I think being more relaxed in myself, understanding myself. And I think my diagnosis as well has come in the midst of a lot of personal growth that I was already going through during 2020, which I think made it a lot easier to handle and kind of work through this, because it is a huge, huge life-changing realization. And so I was already in a spot of being able to accept that.
What a beautiful space to be in. Just hearing you describe that is amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when you understand yourself and you accept yourself and you show yourself kindness and compassion and grace and all of those things, you can then model that to your children so much more. I found it a lot easier to accept them as they are, so not put expectations on them that are beyond their age-appropriate development, or, just seeing my children as the individuals that they are and the different areas that they struggle in, which might not be the same as other kids their age, but this is who they are, and I just want to show them that they are loved and accepted as their complete package. And I think as I've seen traits of ADHD in two of my kids, it's been a lot easier to show patience and I mean, not all the time. I'm not gonna say that I'm perfect and our house is like, this is nice, peaceful, amazing, grace-filled space permanently, but, you know, we're working towards it. By understanding my kids and seeing the things that I struggle with in them, and now that I understand the reasons why I struggle with them, I can then see, that's the same for them. I can kind of see it from both sides of how they might be feeling, but then also as a parent, seeing, okay, well, how can I nurture them and, you know, still teach them the skills that they need to learn, but do it in a way that fits them. I'm just so passionate about my kids growing up loving themselves and
yes.
not collecting this mental baggage that I have collected over the years. Like, I don't want them to be undoing the type of thoughts that I'm undoing myself when they're adults. I want them from the young age that they are now to, yeah, identify their strengths and the way that they function and to be able to implement strategies that will help them along the way so that, yeah, if you know that you struggle to be on time or to keep things tidy, then how can we put systems in place to make that easier? I want to be a positive force in their lives and, yeah, and be an advocate for them as well, like help other people understand who they are and how their brains function.
I love that. I think it's amazing the work that you do with your children in general, not just with concerns for ADHD, just helping them not have to be later in their life and undoing the things that we potentially do at our age or older, you know.
Yeah.
I guess I'd ask as well, like if someone listening thought that they might either identify stuff within themselves or within their kids that could be neurodivergent, what would you recommend they do? What would be like a good first couple steps that they could take to looking into that further?
If you know other people who have ADHD within their family, I think ask for recommendations of health professionals that you can go to.
Yeah.
The initial list that I read was from a magazine called Attitude magazine, so ADD Attitude. And at the time I was like, how reputable is this? Is this resource? Like, is this actually legit? Is this really ADHD? But now I know that, like, that's, they have articles on so many different topics. And so can be helpful to just read up on different aspects of ADHD.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, just try to learn as much as you can about it. The YouTube channel that I mentioned before, How to ADHD, is great because it's like short, entertaining videos that give so much information and real life experience. If you're suspecting that you have it, then as you read other people's experiences and hear from them, there'll be so many things that resonate with you. And it'll either be, oh my goodness, you do that too, or what, doesn't everyone do this? Like, this is a completely normal thing.
I've got a family member that's been going through the assessment process at the moment, and first found themselves at a psychiatrist that after one appointment, well, then at the second appointment got told, oh, I don't actually assess ADHD. And they're like, well, why am I here a second time? And fortunately, they had a GP and psychologist that really advocated for them and looked into, okay, who can you go to? But they really found the Facebook groups as well that they found really helpful to hear people's stories, hear who they had seen, hear, read about different strategies. But really having a psychologist and a GP that advocated for them did make a huge difference, which isn't a first-time experience for a lot of people. Like, a lot of the time you've got to kind of work hard to find those people. And so hearing from what you're saying and then knowing of their experience, it doesn't sound like you can just say, okay, we'll just go to a psychologist or a GP or even any psychiatrist.
Yeah.
So it is something that I think what you're saying about just reading and learning and navigating that is the path that sounds like you have to take.
Yeah, and I'm so thankful to live in a time where we have such easy access to so many resources.
So, yes.
Yeah, it is easy to educate yourself and your family and get the information. The waiting between, so the end of December when I first started to think about this and it's like, I'm pretty sure I have ADHD, but I can't say that yet because I don't know for sure. I haven't seen anyone. It was really painful waiting. And people with ADHD aren't really patient to begin with, so it makes it extra hard. And so something that I'd love to encourage other people in a similar position is if you think that you have it, then don't doubt yourself. Like, you can still learn more about it. You can still read up on different strategies and start applying things, because even if you don't actually get a diagnosis, you're struggling with these practical things and there's a strategy that's going to help you, it's still going to be helpful regardless of the reason. And I've heard from a couple of people, so my psychologist and also a neuromusic therapist who I've done a course with, who have made comments along the line of, if you think that you're neurodivergent, you most likely are. So I think, yeah, if I could help other people to alleviate that doubt that I experienced, it would make that time of waiting so much easier.
Yeah, I like what you said, because if there's strategies that are going to help somebody with ADHD that struggles with these practical things, whether or not you know for sure and you're struggling with the same thing, they're still going to help you. There's still practical tips and also, I guess, like something to do as well, something to put in place even in that waiting time, which I know for me, I just hate not having anything to do. So having something to do that you can start implementing sounds good. What is a treat, like what does treatment look like or that process after your diagnosis look like?
Working out what things I have trouble with and then, coming up with like practical strategies. So a big thing is breaking tasks down to tiny steps and actually like booking in, when am I going to take that first step? Like when am I going to call the GP just to make the appointment to then get a referral to a psychiatrist to then talk about medication? So what's the very first step? And writing that on the calendar or putting a post-it note up or something to, yeah, do the first step. And then what is the next small step, rather than seeing this whole big task that, you know, other people might just see that as the job to do. But for me, it's like, well, each little step feels just as huge as each other.
Yeah.
Something that I found interesting to read other people struggling with is things like posting a letter. You know, people probably think you put the thing in the envelope, you go to the post office. Posting a letter is kind of like a fairly minor thing, but I guess I've always been frustrated, like, why can't I, you know, send birthday cards to my nephews on time? Or why can't I, you know, if I've got something that I need to post, a form that needs to be sent, why does it sit on my desk or in my car for so long? But yeah, you have to fill in the form and then get the envelope and then make sure you've got the right address and get the stamp and actually remember to put it in the car, remember to go to the post office, remember to get it out of the car, to actually remember to take it and then post it. It's like, there's a lot of steps if you actually break it down. And so this is the sort of things that I've been frustrated with myself over the years, going, why can't I do it? Like, it's such a simple thing. Everyone else can do it. What is wrong with me? Mm. And so now I know that, okay, each of those steps is, you know, a big thing. So what's the first thing that I need to do? Let's just get that done. And then the next one, just having the awareness that this is something that I struggle with. It's like, okay, I can be more conscious about doing this. So yeah, I will go out just to the post office so I don't get distracted by other things and I don't have so much of a chance of forgetting. I think there's a lot of stigma around medication. And when I started thinking about ADHD, and it wasn't too long into reading articles and things, that I started hearing anecdotes from people who described the day that they started on the ADHD medication was like the best day of their life, or describing it like wearing a pair of glasses for the first time and just the clarity that comes from that. And so right from the start, I was like, yes, I definitely want to pursue medication as an option, and I want to experience what these other people have experienced, because I'm like, that would just change my life. Like, to be able to, you know, all the tasks that I need to do during a day, you know, with a family of five, it's, yeah, anything that can make that easier would be great. Basically, over the last 4 or 5 months, I'm now on my fourth medication. I just started it today. And each of those, I've had two or three different dosages that I've tried to see what difference they make. And nothing has worked. Yeah, so this one, I'll have 2 weeks on the current dose and then double it. And then, yeah, we'll see what happens. But my psychiatrist said that this one is very, very similar to the last one. So he's not, he said that if one doesn't work, then the other one probably won't. So that's been like a whole other aspect of this journey since being diagnosed. And yeah, just another layer of frustration. So I went into it knowing that, okay, we might not get it right straight away and might have to choose, you know, trial a couple of medications or dosages, but we're going to get it. And so to not have that has been hard.
Yeah.
I thought I'd be so productive this year because I'll get the help I need, and then suddenly I'll just, you know, write a book and clean out my garage and do all these huge things that I was kind of counting on the medication for. But it's making me realise that I need to look after my body a lot better, get back to the basics, look after my body, because each of those things will give me more energy and help me to think clearer. And yeah, I guess I also feel like, you know, I want to use each of my experiences in a positive way. And so by me sharing this, hopefully it encourages other people who might feel the same way as me and think that medication will solve all their problems. So, yeah, just need to look into other options.
Thanks for sharing honestly about that.
Well, thank you so much for sharing, Jodie. And as we said at the beginning, we just pray that this can be a blessing, potentially an eye-opener for anybody that's listening. And we'll tag a couple of the things that you've mentioned too, like the YouTube channel and maybe that list, just for, I guess, next steps for people. If you are listening and you're like, this sounds like me, this sounds like something that I need to look into, may this be an encouragement to you. May Jodie's courage and her journey be an encouragement to you. And thank you again for sharing, and the courage that that took for you to be vulnerable, even in the ups and the downs of what's already an up and down situation. Just thank you, yeah, for being so willing to open up the conversation. It might not be something they've heard, might not be something they've even considered. So thank you so much, Jodie.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. From that first day when I realized I have ADHD, I thought, I want to use this. I want to share my story with other people so that if people can get diagnosed earlier than what I did as a result of me sharing, then job done in life.
Absolutely. Good job.
Thank you. And even for me, as I said, having a family member with ADHD, hearing your story and then other stories helps me understand so much more. So it's so multifaceted as well in who it can help and support. So thank you. We're going to ask you the questions that we ask everyone at the end of every podcast. And the first one is, looking back at your motherhood journey, what advice would you give yourself?
I think not comparing to other people, acknowledging who each individual in my family is and who we are as a whole family, and doing things that work for us, not feel like it's better or worse than anyone else, but enjoy what's right in front of me. And also a big thing is to not get so stressed out and caught up in physical tasks of the day. Yeah, I think I've spent too much energy stressing out about the housework, which then affects my mood, which then affects how I connect with the people in my family. So I think, yeah, early on it would have been good to get that balance a bit better.
Yeah. Mm. What are you currently reading or listening to?
Well, I have a list, which is very typical of someone with ADHD, having a lot of stuff on the go and being great at starting stuff and not so great at finishing things. So I went through my Audible library and looked at all the ones that I've started, and there's a whole lot of books that I haven't even started yet. But I'm reading Harry Potter with my 9-year-old. So that's really great connection time at the end of the day. But then there's also 3 parenting books that I've started. A book called Triggers, which is a Christian parenting book about some of the common issues that trigger anger in us as mothers. And it is such a great book at showing who God is as a parent and his grace and compassion and patience with us, and then how we can show that to our children. Yeah, I have a couple of books by Dr. Justin Coulson. I love his the things that he has to say, and the fact that he narrates the books. It's like he's just sitting in the room with me, just like talking about parenting, which is great. So one of them is 10 Things Every Parent Needs to Know. Then in the process of looking through my audiobooks, I found one that I hadn't started, and I ended up starting it a couple of days ago. So I'm like, just to add on to the ones that I'm already listening to, I've now added an extra one, but it's quite short. It's Love Does by Bob Goff, which is amazing. He's got some really crazy stories about his own life, but just demonstrating extravagant love and the outworking of that with other people, but then also God's extravagant love to us. And then the last book that I'll mention, which is specifically about ADHD in women, it's called You Mean I'm Not Lazy, Stupid or Crazy. And when I read that title, I think it might have even been on the first day I was thinking about ADHD, I saw this book mentioned, and it just made me cry because I'm like, oh my goodness, those labels are things that I have either heard from other people or just told myself over and over throughout my life to explain different things that I do. You know, my house is a mess because I'm lazy, or I've forgotten things or lock my keys in my car or whatever because I'm stupid or, you know, so many labels like that. And so to have this question of maybe I'm not these things and maybe there's an explanation for it. Yeah, again, that was really liberating just by reading this book title.
Yeah.
And the actual book is amazing. It's a chunky book that goes through so many different aspects of females' lives and, how ADHD specifically affects women in light of different social expectations.
How have you been connecting to God in this current season of motherhood and in this last year?
Our church has been on Zoom during all the lockdowns. So I know a lot of mm-hmm. churches have like recorded a service and so you can kind of watch it in your own time. And, you know, churches have kind of approached lockdowns in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. Our church has been on Zoom, which has been great because I have learned more people's names by seeing their names on the screens than actually talking to them in person. Because we started going to our current church, I feel like it was only a year before our first lockdown. Mm-hmm. So there's a reason why I didn't know everyone's names already. But but that's been really helpful. And so part of our services is during the week, someone sends out intergenerational activities. So it started out as being specifically for kids, but then a lot of adults got on board as well. And now it's, you know, everyone gets involved. So things like colouring sheets like of the verses or a theme or something related to the sermon or sometimes other activities like maybe making something out of Lego or something just relate some sort of creative response to what's happening in the service that day. And so in the beginning I'd be colouring in while listening to the sermon and I'm like, I'm taking in so much more than I would if I was just sitting there trying to just listen. Yeah. And so this was before I knew I had ADHD and I thought it was kind of odd, but now it makes so much more sense because by engaging my hands in something, it actually stimulates my brain and turns different parts of my brain on so I can focus on the words as well as what I'm doing with my hands. And so, that's been great.
That's really cool.
Do that during our services. And then at the end, I've got this verse that I can stick around the house and be reminded mm-hmm. of that later on.
So, oh, that's really cool.
That's awesome. And what a clever idea for the church to be doing that.
Yeah.
And also, as part of this, at the end of each service, we now have like a show and tell session. And so everyone is free to show what they've been doing during the service or if they prepared something during the week related to it. Mm. And like, I think, you know, for my family and probably for a lot of other people as well, it's kind of one of the best parts of the service is, just this connection and seeing what people have come up with. And one of the guys in our church, he's an amazing artist. Like, he does, this is like a fine liner. Marker and does these drawings that are amazing. Like I feel like he needs to put them all together and it'd be a coloring book of, here's our year's worth of sermons.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah. So we're always like, I want to see Peter's picture. What has he done today? So I've loved that. Just creative expression and seeing what other people have done as well.
Yeah. I wonder how that will integrate back into a traditional Sunday service going forward. That will be fascinating to see.
Yeah. Maybe they'll provide little colouring things on every seat before you come in. And our last question for you today, Jodie, is what is one of your favourite verses or scriptures?
This is a verse that I have loved since I was a teenager. It's 1 Thessalonians. Even though it's one of my favourites, it's still hard to say. Thessalonians, chapter 5, 16-18, which is, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I've come back to that a lot this year. I think part of it is because I can just break it down into really simple ideas. So rejoice or, be joyful is how I often kind of interpret it as well. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. I figure if I'm doing those three things every day or, throughout the day, that's life-changing and life-giving. And I think I've had a lot of years since having kids where I haven't been rejoicing and I haven't been praying and I haven't been giving thanks. And to kind of, in a way, like reintroduce these kind of simple but powerful aspects of life and aspects of our relationship with God makes such a difference. So
absolutely.
Yeah, I like the full verse, but I also have I've done like paintings and or just, writing out verses. So just even just having those words on the canvas around the house
and yeah,
just reminders of doing these things.
I love that. That's a great way to finish.
Absolutely.
A great reminder. Well, thank you again for sharing, for approaching us as well. We are so grateful when people do, and hearing more of your story shows even how more courageous that was, I guess, because of you breaking down the steps that would have taken to actually do. So thank you. And this has been a real blessing to us, and I pray that it will be to those that listen.
Thank you.
And until next time, this is Our Village.
Thank you for joining us today on This Is Our Village. If you enjoyed this podcast, please remember to like, subscribe, and review. And please share it with as many moms as you think might benefit from this community. This is our village, but we'd love it to be your village too.